Dan Casper here, Radio Row, Mall of America, Super Bowl 52 this weekend. Joining us now, Nate Boyer. Good afternoon, Nate. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Hey, now you got a really interesting story. 6 years in service, multiple tours overseas. Thank you for your service, by the way. Appreciate
my
it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. You're worth it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, don't let me down.
That's a lot of pressure, Nate.
Yep, that's the point.
But then you never played organized football until you got to Texas. What made you want to go and try out for the Texas Longhorns football team?
Man, I think I regretted not playing. You know, never doing it. It's always my favorite sport. So when I was transitioned off the active duty into the Texas National Guard, I got into the University of Texas and just, you know, decided why not walk on, try out for the team and see what happens. And I was on the scout team for that first year as a safety, and I picked up the ball and started long snap and just to find a way on the field, and the rest is history.
How, I mean, long snapping in just a couple of years too, I mean, just how difficult of a position is that to learn in that short of a time frame?
I mean, it's, you know, it's that specific skill is challenging for sure. I mean, I think it's a lot harder to learn to play, or at least at the athletic level, some of these other positions on the field. But, you know, the pressure with long snapping is just that it's thankless. Like, nobody cares if you do a good job. Yeah. You know, they only care when you screw up.
Yep.
So that scares a lot of people off quick, you know.
You don't need a good one until you need a good one, essentially.
Exactly. So it's but I enjoyed a little bit of pressure, and just I enjoyed the opportunity more than anything to get on the field and, you know, play some meaningful snaps.
Now, I remember the draft coverage, and you got a lot of attention during the draft. Would you get drafted or not? You ended up not getting drafted, but John Schneider and Pete Carroll called you pretty quickly after the draft. What was that phone call like and that experience in Seattle?
It was awesome. I mean, they wanted to sign me as a free agent, and I had to choose between Seattle and another team that wasn't quite as prominent and doing as well. and obviously I wanted the biggest challenge, you know, and I knew it was going to be a tougher team to make, but they'd been to back-to-back Super Bowls. And I love the way that Pete and John do things up there. And they like to have guys with a chip on their shoulder and give them opportunities. And so, yeah, it was a perfect fit. And you know, I only played one game, but it was a great experience, man, just to have that opportunity, have that, you know, to be able to chase that dream that a lot of people have growing up.
Nate Boyer joining us here on Radio Row. When you were at Texas and just starting out and trying to get on the team, did you have that goal of making it to the NFL at some point?
No. I was just trying to, you know, make the team. And then the next step, once I made the team, I'm like, all right, how can I get on the field? And I didn't really think about, I mean, I didn't think the NFL was even a possibility. I was so small. Because even when I was long snapping, I mean, I'm 5'11". Right now I'm about 5'11", 175. When I was playing at Texas, I was maybe 190, 195. The smallest NFL long snapper is at least my height and weighs about 240. You know what I mean? So I didn't even think that was an option. And then I played in the senior all-star game in Charleston called the Medal of Honor Bowl. And I was a snapper for one of the teams. And, you know, during all the practices, there was like 100 scouts there. And scouts from four different teams came up and met with me and were talking to me and told me, look, you got to, you know, you're 34 years old. Yeah. You're going to have to put on about 34 pounds if you want a shot. But you should, if you're interested, you should go for it. And so I did. I put all this weight on. I got up to 228 by the time you know, draft rolled around, and went to pro day and did well enough to have, you know, a couple teams give me a call. And yeah, so it was awesome.
Awesome story.
It ended up just working out perfect.
What would you tell any? I mean, that you're the perfect story for any kid out there that wants to chase their dreams. I mean, what would you tell those kids that want to chase those dreams? What kind of advice would you give them?
Yeah, I mean, I was that kid too growing up, but, you know, without a huge amount of sacrifice, they're just going to be dreams. So you have to understand that. And it's not going to – every day you're not necessarily going to improve. You know what I mean? You have to go through the days where you just suck, and you have to be okay with that. You know what I mean? You can't – obviously you can't let it affect you in a negative way and give up. You just have to understand that you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. That's just how that goes. But you just got to keep plugging away and outwork everybody around you. And no matter what it is in your life, it doesn't have to be sports related even. If that's what your dream is, we only get one shot at this deal as far as I know.
Yeah.
You know, then you just keep going until your body can't anymore. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's the best advice I could give you. But, yeah, stay humble, take people's advice, you know, listen to those with experience. You know, especially those that have been there where you're trying to get. But it's all about how much time you commit to it.
Nate Boyer joining us here on Radio Row. I got to ask you, Colin Kaepernick, when you saw him first start, you know, protesting the national anthem, what was your initial thoughts to that? And what did you say to Colin? Was it you that reached out to him, or was it vice versa? Or was it a mutual connection to where he changed from sitting down to kneeling down?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that open letter, you know, just trying to be open-minded to the situation, because my initial response was, you know, anger and hurt, like a lot of people, I think. And through that letter, he reached out and he wanted to meet. And so the next day I went down to San Diego and I met with him in the lobby of the team hotel before the final preseason game of 2016. And through that conversation, you know, we talked about different experiences. And I talked about a lot of the people in my community that were really upset or hurt by the situation because of what the flag and anthem, what those symbols represent to them. Which is those ultimate freedoms that he was expressing. So it was a complicated issue there. And so he asked me, is there another way that you think I could demonstrate, you know, without standing, because I said I'm not going to stand until I feel things are changing. Is there another way I can demonstrate so that I don't hurt those people? And I suggested kneeling, and he thought that was powerful, and I thought it was more respectful. And so that sort of compromises was the taking a knee, and that's where that came from.
And then you went to a game where you stood on the sidelines with him, too.
That was that same day. That was just a couple hours later when they were playing the Chargers. It was Military Appreciation Night down in San Diego. They had flyover and, you know, Navy SEALs jumping in the stadium. And it was an African-American man in the Navy was singing the national anthem, and it was just an interesting time in our country right now, and that's kind of a snapshot of that. But yeah, I stood next to him with my hand on my heart while it played, but, you know, being respectful to his decision and the rights and freedoms that I fought for, even though I may not like him.
Right. I mean, even now this year, going like at the beginning of the season, it really kind of took a different, a bigger toll. More teams started protesting and all that. What was your kind of thoughts going through the beginning part of this season?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really, I don't think more, the numbers didn't jump until somebody called them sons of bitches, you know? And so it was almost like, it seemed more like that was a counter protest to the president's remarks than actually what the message was all about, which I don't think was a good thing, because we were getting confused on what the point of the whole thing was in the first place.
Right.
And so it's become so much about the gesture itself, and whether or not players are protesting, not what they're protesting about, which is maybe not a good thing. And then, you know, Alejandro Villanueva from the Steelers comes out of the tunnel and stands, and it's like that's a counter-protest to the protest just because he's standing for the anthem,
right?
Which it wasn't, but I mean, it's just, it got crazy, man. And it's, we're in a crazy time, though, so
exactly.
It's not surprising.
Exactly. And you're a veteran. Are you still working with a veteran? Are you still working with armed forces and veterans
groups
like that?
So Merging Vets and Players is a nonprofit I started with Jay Glazer, MVP for short. And vetsandplayers.org is the website, by the way. But what we're doing is we're bringing together former professional athletes and combat veterans and helping them find purpose after the uniform comes off. You know, both of them obviously did very different things on the battlefield or the playing field, but the struggles in the transition is often very similar. You know, they're in their mid-20s, mid-30s, and their career's over. You know, and a lot of them feel like their life is over. They'll never do anything as important as they did before. And what we're trying to remind them of is that they do have a team still. There's a lot of people in their shoes doing great things after they're done playing or serving. And so there's that camaraderie there and all that. But also, who they are is not the uniform they were. They're the person that sacrificed so much to get to that level, to become elite. And they still have that in them. That's still who they are. So remembering that and using that moving forward with other challenges in their life.
Awesome. Nate Boyer, thank you so much. Quick prediction, who do you got for this weekend's game?
Fly, Eagles, fly. Chris Long's a good buddy of mine. He won the Super Bowl last year with the Patriots when he went to that team for a season. So I just love to see that city get one, you know. I think New England's had their share.
Perfect.
But you know, if you're a betting man, it's tough to bet money against Tom Brady.
Exactly. Hey, Nate Boyer, thank you again for all your service and for what you've done for our country and for us. So I appreciate it, and thanks for stopping by here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.